Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today on Fire It Up with CJ, I have Ragini Michaels, who is an America Place mystic and an internationally recognized speaker and behavioral change. Welcome, Ragini.
Thank you, CJ.
So today is a show about guilt and shame. And I know this may be like, didn't they talk about that last month? And we did talk about guilt and shame, but it was so full of information that we decided to talk about it again, because in the previous one we talked about how not to guilt and shame others. This one we're going to talk about how to inoculate yourself from guilt. So Ragini, I wanted to talk to you. Let's do a real quick definition of guilt and shame too. How would you describe what those things are?
Well, generally speaking, both of them relate to not meeting expectations. Generally speaking, the way I've learned it, shame is something that normally comes from an external source. Someone tries to shame you and say, you should meet my expectation. And if you don't, you should feel ashamed. Mm-hmm. Guilt often occurs whenever you accept the person's expectation. You agree that it's an expectation you should meet. And then you not only feel shame, but you feel guilt because you agree mm-hmm. that it is an expectation that you ought to have been able to meet, and you should feel bad and hideous and horrible about yourself.
Oh my God. Ragini's looking at me, and if you could see her, I'm already feeling guilty and shameful when she's just describing this with her facial cues.
Quick, we have to get out the inoculation
vaccine.
Oh
my God, inoculate me. Okay, so are certain people more predisposed to guilt, or certain personality types, certain types of people more predisposed to feel guilt and shame?
I think people who are more apt to search for people's approval are more likely to be susceptible to guilt and shame for not getting other people's approval or acceptance. Mm. Whereas people who have personalities more like yours, for example, which is more the boss kind of personality, the person who is really sure about what they believe, right. They're less prone to take on other people's expectations. They'll simply speak up and say, you're wrong. Your right. expectation is incorrect, so get off my case. So it depends on your personality type. I do believe there are some types more naturally susceptible to accepting guilt and shame, whereas someone with your personality would just reject it.
Yeah, with shame. Probably mm-hmm. not with guilt. I live and breathe in guilt. So mm-hmm. that's actually something that,
yes, that's
with
true.
My personality type, that's one of the things I suffer with the most.
Okay.
And I think also just a lot of the religions out there. I mean, certain religions are just all focused on guilt and shame, right? Mm-hmm. Making you feel less than.
Well, guilt and shame are one or two, I should say, two of the tools, and it's hard to separate them, but it's two of the tools that we generally use to socialize our children.
Yeah.
In oftentimes developing a conscience, that is teaching your children how to know the difference between right and wrong, will be instigated or implanted in the child through the use of guilt and shame as a way to get them to say this is right and this is wrong.
Right.
I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying people do it.
Yeah. And, okay,
and that's often where it comes from.
And I thought it would be helpful to, not that I want, I actually think I should say guilty and shame statements to you so you can see how they feel.
Oh, I have plenty of experience.
Okay. So I'm going to actually, because I can't take Ragini looking at me that way with guilt, shame. So here's some ones. And I think actually as parents and or other, I've seen this on the playground. I've done these things myself. So it's, I'm disappointed in you. I expect better of you. Right?
Devastating that's like to a child.
Yes.
A parent says that.
Yeah. Or when you did that, that really embarrassed mommy or daddy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's another one. Or you really should not have done that to X, you know, little Johnny. You need to go and, you need to go back and apologize to little Johnny.
You see on most of these, you can see on most of these how the intention is to get the child to behave in the way that you feel is socially acceptable.
Right.
All right. And that's the intention, but that's not usually the outcome.
Right.
You might actually get the kid to behave in the way you want, but you're also instilling a huge layer of guilt and shame, which may end them in a therapist chair sooner or later in their life.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I mean, so why is it not so from less from the person delivering and more from the person receiving? Why is it so? Why would they be in therapy later on? What does it do to their psyche?
Guilt and shame are probably two of the most crippling emotions that we can feel because they are rooted in a deep belief that you are inadequate and inept in some way and mm-hmm. can't live up. You don't live up to the expectation. So you can get very ingrained that whatever you do, you're not going to do it well.
Right.
And then you feel guilty about that. You feel bad about that. You feel ashamed. Shame is just a hideously insidious emotion, which all of us feel. And many times we don't even know we're feeling it.
Yeah. Here's the thing that's kind of interesting about that, though. I would say my guilt and shame has driven me to prove my parents wrong or, you know, it's actually made me more driven and passionate mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. work harder to be better, that kind of thing. So, I don't know if that has some benefit to it as well.
Well, it has benefit in that it got you to get to a place, but there are other ways to get to the same place. without having beaten yourself up and driven yourself so you're black and blue by the time you get there. Yeah. I mean, you know, they're fine motivators. It's just that there are others that are more loving and kind to your system as a whole.
Yeah.
Where you're not feeling, because you may be a great success and you may still feel like you have very low self-esteem and you're inept and incompetent because the core shame and guilt may not be touched by your having used it as a motivator to get you to the place where you've proven to your parents you're successful.
Right.
You still have to prove it to yourself if you're still carrying the guilt
right.
and shame.
And I think actually that's a torturous thing, yes. right? We still carry it and we still feel like I need to do a better job. I need to, and that kind of thing kind of actually it runs its course where maybe at one point it actually makes you more successful at work. And at one point it actually makes you less successful as a human being because you just feel
as
unhappy.
As a human being, yes. If we're talking about inner happiness, which
yeah.
is what I like to talk about, because outer happiness pales if you don't have inner happiness.
Yeah.
And so generally speaking, when I have people come to see me and call me for support, they are successful people. They're people who have proven their success. They've proven their adequacies. And yet when they come in my office and sit in my chair or talk to me on the privacy of a phone call, what they really are sharing with me is I still feel so inadequate. I'm not good enough. I will never be good enough.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel ashamed of myself, especially because I have so much.
Right.
And I am so successful. Why do I still feel so bad about who I am?
It's a paradox, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So how, you know, one of the things that when we were talking about and preparing for the show that I thought was so interesting is that you're talking about oftentimes parents, they don't know how to deal with their own guilt and shame, and then that actually understanding that relationship themselves is actually really important. Can you touch upon that too?
Well, for example, if your child does something and you say what you said earlier, you embarrassed me by that behavior, what you're actually doing there is trying to deal with your own shame. That you feel because you've raised a child who did something that doesn't meet the other person's or society's or your expectations.
Right.
So what happens in that moment is if you're unaware that that statement is not really coming out of the place where you want to help your child learn how to behave better
mm-hmm.
and have, you know, learn what to do to keep the social wheels oiled, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And what it's coming out of is your need to cover up your shame. And to not have people see
right.
that you're basically a bad parent and you showed them I'm a bad parent because you didn't behave properly.
Right.
So it's really not about the child. So if you have your own shame and guilt you've not dealt with as a parent, that's
right.
what we're talking about, or in a relationship,
right.
you will tend to lay a trip upon someone else. So you don't actually deal with your own, but that's what's driving it.
It's like, I can't deal with my own, therefore I'm just going to thrust it upon
yeah,
you.
Let me try and control you so you don't embarrass and shame me.
Isn't that fascinating?
It's fascinating.
Yeah, so as a parent, if you feel like at all that you're doing that, what happens once you change your relationship to guilt and shame?
then you can work with your child in a different way. Now, I'm not a child psychologist,
right?
But I do know that it's better to sit down and say, hey, you know, when you did that, that's just not the kind of thing that we do, you know, in the world. People don't do that because it makes other people uncomfortable. Now, your child has to be a certain age to get that intellectually.
Right.
So, again, you might just say, that's not a good behavior. I need you to do it differently. Which is different than saying you embarrass me or you make me, I'm ashamed of you.
Right.
Just say, we don't do that. We're going to do it this way.
Right.
But just a clean statement. You are the parent. You're teaching the child the way the world works.
Yeah.
We really believe we need to use guilt and shame to get our kids to do what we want them to do.
Yeah, and we don't. And that's a lot of what the last episode was about.
Right.
So a quick summary. So we just talked about guilt and shame. What is it? And I thought I really liked your distinction of, you know, shame is when other people are trying to make us feel bad about ourselves and our behavior. Guilt is when we accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I thought that was a perfect and that it's so damaging because I think what it does is it sets up this in your psyche that in yourself, you feel like I'm inadequate in some way, mm-hmm. and I'm bad, I'm inadequate, and I can't meet up to my parents' expectations or expectations of society around me, which is kind of a crushing thing.
It's a very crushing thing to carry because we all want to be an acceptable asset to our society.
Yeah.
We want to be accepted into the fold. We don't want to be thrust out of the circle.
Right. Yeah.
You know, ever in grade school, did you kids all get in a circle and you get left out? You know, and you had to go in and you had to push in. You know, you had to break somebody's hands apart to be a part of the circle when you were a kid.
Yeah.
And that was so hard.
Yeah.
First, you felt like ashamed and embarrassed that they didn't bring you into the circle.
Right. Oh, no, I just bashed through Rodney. That's the difference. All right, Raghini Michael is an internationally recognized expert and marketplace mystic on Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Up next, how can you handle when someone is trying to guilt or shame you? You want to know more about Raghini or listen to other shows like this? Check it out at www.fireitupwithcj.com or factcd.com. We'll be right back.
Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Bambusa Bamboo Products saves trees and reduces waste by providing a new material for bathroom tissue and baby wipes. Bambusa Bamboo Products offers the only tree-free 100% bamboo bathroom tissue and award-winning baby wipes made from ultra-soft bamboo-derived fibers. Using material from renewable bamboo is the ideal alternative for toilet paper and wet wipes. Call 866-996-2867 or visit bambusa.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Lower back pain can be a real pain in the, well, you know. The newly patented Vacupractor relieves that pain simply, inexpensively, and from the privacy of your own home for just $59.95. Listen to what Brad and Dottie have to say about their Vacupractor.
The Vacupractor is amazing. I've had back pain for so long, it's taking time to adjust and not having the pain there.
Each time I've used my Vacupractor, I've gotten instant relief. I would recommend anyone with stiffness and lower back pain give the Vacupractor a try.
Vacupractor is just a one-time cost of $59.95, and you can use it whenever you need in your own home. How does it work? Simple. The Vacupractor uses vacuum pressure. It stretches muscles, restoring proper nerve function, and reducing the possibility of disc failure. Finally, a simple, effective treatment for lower back pain that really works.
For more information about the Vacupractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit vacupractor.com.
Hi, welcome back. In case you just joined in, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Rodney Michaels, who works with spiritual seekers on the way to their inner happiness. I'm Fired Up with CJ. So the first step, so we were talking in the last segment about guilt and shame and what it is. This segment is really about gaining your awareness. Guilt and shame. And how you handle when someone is guilting or shaming you. So, you know, when someone guilts or shames us, how do we even know when we're being guilt or shame?
One of the first ways to know is to pay attention to what's happening in your body. Mm. Generally speaking, guilt and shame will cause you to shrivel, shrink, pull in, because you're feeling like you want to get out of the spotlight.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, guilt and shame feel as if you are in the middle of a circle and everyone is outside pointing at you.
Mm.
And that can feel very, you just want to shrink up and disappear.
Yeah.
Because you're so ashamed.
Yeah.
And, you know, guilty about who you are and the defectiveness that caused you to not meet that expectation that someone is telling you you should have met.
Yeah. And
so
you know what,
your body first.
You know, when you were talking about it, I was tuning into it, and I think people bite their lips. They bite mm-hmm. their lips when they're feeling guilty and shaming. Like, that's kind of, oh, I don't know why, but they bite their neck lips, I think, too.
For sure.
Okay, so let's actually do some role playing, because I think part of an inoculation is finding the right wording when people are trying to guilt and shame you. So mm-hmm. let's pretend that I am your mother.
You're my mother. Okay.
Yes, I'm your mother.
All right.
Okay. Oh, I know. I'm your mother, and I'm wondering when you're going to have a kid.
When I'm going to have a kid.
Yeah, when you're going to have a kid and, you know, get married. You know, this is kind of the classic guilt and shame thing. Yeah, give me a grandchild, right? This is like, we all know, we're familiar with this thing. Mm-hmm. Don't like your parenting style, whatever.
Okay.
So, Ronnie, good to see you. How are things going? Hi, honey.
Everything's good, Mom.
You know, I just saw Sally, your best friend, and she looked great. She was with her, you know, new husband, Jim, and her mm-hmm. kid, and they just seem so happy.
They do, don't they? It's very nice for them.
Yeah, so passive-aggressive way. So I'm going to do the little thought bubble. Passive-aggressive way to say to Ragini, look, you could be happy if you were like your friend mm-hmm. who's married, right?
Okay. That's and the thought bubble on this side is, I hear the expectation that you want me to be like her, and I'm not buying it.
Okay. Okay.
So I say, isn't that nice that they're so happy? I certainly agree.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so they were just doing great. And I saw your ex-boyfriend the other day. You know that nice man? He's a doctor. You know, Jim. You remember Jim?
I do remember Jim. I'm glad he's doing so well.
Yeah, he asked about you.
Did he?
He's recently divorced. Did you know that?
I did not know that, Mom.
Okay, so thought bubble. Why don't you call Jim? Get married to him, damn it. You liked him when you were younger. Come on. Okay, so what's the thought bubble in your head?
Thought bubble on my side is expectation. She wants me to call Jim. I'm not interested. It's not an expectation. I don't want to get back with Jim.
But how did you tell me that? Just going back through that.
What did I say? I said to you, that's nice. No, I didn't know he was divorced, Mom.
Okay, so you didn't go into the whole...
I didn't bite.
Oh,
the bait was out. The
okay.
hook was there. I didn't take it in my mouth and get reeled in to the game. It's still hanging out there with no fish on it. The hook was there. The bait was cast.
Okay, good. Tell us a more typical response. I mean, you're really well suited at this, but what would a typical, I mean, is that a typical response?
Well, you're being very subtle.
Okay.
How about being a mom who's not quite so subtle?
Okay.
Try that, because I think if you're being that subtle, it's easy to get away with the things I'm saying.
Okay.
All
yeah.
Right. Now, if you're more direct, it might be a little different.
Okay.
Let's
all
see.
Right.
See what you come up
Rogany,
with.
Rogany, honey, you know, I know that you're loving what you're doing right now, and you seem happy to me, but I'm just wondering, you know, Dad and I have had so much joy in being married, and we're just wondering if that's something, I mean, is this something you're ever going to do?
Don't know, Mom. Not really high on my list.
When is it going to be high, honey? You're not getting any younger.
That's true. I just don't think that getting married is a high expectation for me, Mom.
Oh, and then, oh, honey, hold on. I think it's Jim calling.
Is that my ex?
Yes, he was going to call and ask you for a date. Hold on. No, okay. So, why isn't it a high expectation? You know how much it's made your dad and I so happy. Why isn't it something that you want, honey? I don't understand. Why?
I know you don't, Mom. I know you don't understand. But here's the thing. You see, I really like what I do, and I like my life. And if somebody came along that I fell in love with and wanted to marry, I would. But it's not a high priority for me to go out and find someone to marry just to get married.
But what happens, honey? I mean, you're beautiful right now, but, you know, you're not going to, honey, I hate to tell you, you're not going to, look at me. It's not going to last forever. So what are you going to do? What happens when you get ready? I'm really feeling like a mom, right? I'm role playing. I'm really feeling
Mom,
it.
Are you trying to create guilt in me so I'll go out and get married?
No, I just want you to see what it would be like. I mean, I don't think you know because you haven't tried it. How would you know if you didn't try it?
Mom, are you trying to make me feel bad?
No, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. In fact, I want you to feel good, which is why I'm asking
Mom,
you to get married.
What you're missing is I actually do feel good.
I know, but you could feel better, honey. You just don't
maybe
know.
Maybe so, Mom. Maybe so.
Well, then aren't you willing to just give it a try? I mean, Jim just called.
No, I've actually had my time with Jim, and I don't want to do it again. Mom, you're just going to have to relax with the notion that I'm not looking to get married.
But it makes Dad and I so unhappy, honey.
I'm sorry for that.
I mean, aren't you even willing to try?
No.
Well, why not? Your sister's so happy. Your brother's happy. Why?
Mom, you know what? You're really pushing on an issue right now. We've had the conversation. This is like the fifth time we've had this conversation about marriage. So I understand what you want, and I'm not going to be able to give it to you right now. So can we kind of table it for a while? Because I don't want to feel guilty about it. I'm sorry it makes you feel bad that your daughter isn't married and you don't have any grandkids. I'm really sorry for that. And yet, it's not in my future plans. So let's call a truce on this one, okay?
Well, just so you know, it makes me very unhappy, and Dad, too. I think he's getting ill about this.
Well, you're a tough mom, man.
Oh, I know. My poor children, they better get married, or they're in serious trouble.
This is the kind of interaction, though, where a continuous barrage of attempts to make a person feel guilty about not filling someone else's expectation. This is clearly the mom's expectation.
Right. And you'll be happier, right? That's her idea.
Her rationalization is, I will be happier if I do it. Her reason for guilting me and shaming me is that I will be happier. Now, whatever her reasons are, she's obviously, apparently trying to take care of the fact that she's embarrassed and perhaps ashamed that her daughter is not married.
Mm.
And so she wants to correct that and remove her guilt and shame by trying to manipulate her daughter to marry.
Right.
So then that guilt and shame she feels about raising a daughter who isn't married, I mean, hello, that's terrible,
right?
Will disappear. So when you look at the intention behind it, yes, of course she wants her daughter to be happy. And there's also hidden guilt and shame behind most guilting and shaming of other people.
Would you call that out, though, to your mom?
Well, it depends on the kind of relationship you have with your mom.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. I mean, sometimes you don't need to say it. Just don't bite on the hook.
Okay.
That's one of the main things.
What do you see people typically doing in that scenario, and how would you contrast it to what you did, just so people have kind of a formula?
Some people will simply agree and say, okay, Mom, I'll put it high on my list, or okay, Mom, I'll call, and then they probably won't. They have no intention of it, but they're trying to get out of the conversation.
Right, so that's their out. Oh, yeah, I'll do that, Mom.
Yes.
Don't worry.
One would be agreeing when you have no intention of doing it.
Right.
Another would be agreeing and then actually doing it in an effort to please your mother. And that's when you've really bit onto the hook. And you are now engaged in trying to help someone else alleviate their guilt and shame. That is not your job.
Mm.
Your job is to take care of your guilt and shame and try to remember that the whole game here that's being played, and I call it a game, not out of disrespect, but because it's something that we get engaged in, and there's a winner and a loser usually.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're dealing with, though, are expectations. And the easiest way to move with awareness in guilt and shame is to translate it as quickly as you can into what's the expectation here, and do I buy that I should fill that expectation?
Mm.
That's one of the most powerful ways to stop someone else guilting. You can't stop someone else from guilting and shaming you, but you cannot buy into it.
Right. I don't buy into your expectation that I will be happier when when I'm married.
Right.
And then, yeah.
And if you really understand it is about expectation, then if you can go right to what you hear the expectation is and say, I don't have that expectation, Mom. I'm sorry. You know, that's not, I don't expect marriage in my life. I don't necessarily even want it. It's not a thing for me, okay? Whatever it is your story is around marriage or whatever it is you're talking about, you're simply saying, I hear your expectation and I don't accept it as mine.
But the scenario that I went through too was, oh my God, we almost have our time is up.
Do you feel guilty about that?
I do feel guilty about that. Oh my goodness. Okay, Raggedy Michaels, who speaks. So what we were just doing as a recap is, how do you handle someone's guilt? And what I heard you say is be clear when someone's gonna guilting you, be aware of your body and how you feel on the inside. And then also when you're having a dialogue with them, be really clear, like start trying to understand their expectations so you know what you're saying no to.
Right.
And also watch yourself if you're trying to prevent someone from feeling guilty and shame.
Right.
Right? Your parent or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Raggedy Michaels, who speaks internationally about finding inner happiness and inner peace on Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. Up next, how do you deal when you're actually guilting yourself, self-inflicted guilt and shame? You want to know more about Raggedy or to listen to shows like this? Check it out at www.fireitupwithcj.com or factcity.com, which is factcity.com. We'll be right back.
Bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Imagine you had a way to protect yourself from cancer, depression, and disease, and dispel the nastiest bugs that attempt to hide undetected. Take a moment to wonder, how good does that feel? How powerful? Did you know that enough golden sunlight produces vitamin D in your body to protect itself against disease? Producing enough vitamin D can kill cancer cells, reduce blood pressure and inflammation, and even help with weight loss. This amazing little vitamin is actually not a vitamin at all, but a powerhouse of protection that can activate your body's innate healing ability, but only if you have enough in your blood to shine the light. Tune in and listen to award-winning author Dr. Lucinda Messer share how you can harness the power of sunlight to create a healthy body and mind. Her book, Powerful Medicine Vitamin D, Shedding Light on a Worldwide Health Crisis, is like having a vitamin D expert on hand to answer all your health questions. For more information, visit PowerfulD.com. That's PowerfulD.com.
All into the chapel and we're gonna get married. Go into the chapel and we're gonna get married.
Gee, I really love it. Hi, I'm CJ Liu and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, Rodney Michaels, a speaker, author, and expert in behavioral change, and we're discussing guilt and shame, and specifically how you can deal when you're actually guilting and shaming yourself, self-inflicted guilt and shame.
Oh, it's a painful thing.
Why do we even do this to ourselves? Why do we guilt and shame ourselves? What's the purpose?
Keep us in line. To keep us in line, to make sure we aim ourselves towards the expectation, or we remind ourselves why it is we're not able to meet it. Because we're too inept and too inadequate and too damaged. So guilt and shame are wonderful ways of inflicting that way of thinking on yourself.
So the positive thing is to keep us in line. I mean, what's the positive part of it?
Well, remember I said in the beginning that we use guilt and shame as a way to develop conscience. To try and teach ourselves the difference between right and wrong. Okay. So it gets very, very skewed as we grow because our culture has so many ideas about right and wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it's right to be a success. It's wrong to not be a success. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not really a matter of right and wrong in terms of morality.
Right.
Right. It's simply a statement of where you are in your career. You've
right.
either been successful or you haven't. And
right.
that depends, of course, on what your expectations are
right.
and what your definition is of, you know, how do I define whether or not I made success or not.
Right.
So, again, guilt and shame are two ways that we use to oftentimes, when we do it to ourselves, to give ourselves a rationale as to why we're not able to do what it is we want to do, which is meet those expectations.
Yeah.
So if there's something I want to do, if I have an expectation of myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's one I decided is a good expectation or one that my parents or my culture gave me, and I've never questioned it.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't meet that expectation, I can guilt and shame myself about it. The one we talked about in the last segment, not being married, mm-hmm. is a tremendously powerful source of guilt and shame
mm-hmm.
for most people, both men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Because in our culture, it is changing a little bit, which is really nice. But generally speaking, in our culture, you're a failure if you don't have a mate.
Mm-hmm.
If you've gone through life without a significant other for more than 1 or 2 years, people's jaw drops, you know,
yeah.
and they go, oh my God, what's wrong? I mean, that tells you the kind of expectation it is, the power behind it. And if you're not able to fill it for whatever your reasons are, guilt and shame will definitely pour over you.
Right. So the commonality between whether others are guilting or shaming or you're guilting or shaming yourself is a set of expectations. Mm-hmm. Expectations either, in the case of when others are shaming you, it's expectations that they're placing on you, that mm-hmm. their own expectations they're placing on you. In this case of self-inflicted guilt or shame, it's expectations that you're placing in yourself. It may have been the source was your parent or whatever,
right.
but I think the key thing that you mentioned is that you don't question it.
You do not question it. You simply transfer your mother or your dad's or your culture's voice to your own voice.
Yeah.
And then it's, I should be able to do this. I know I'm not doing it, but I should be able to
right.
do it. I'm so ashamed of myself.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Or I'm so embarrassed or I feel so guilty that I acted in that way.
Yeah.
And again, you may, if you really have examined the expectation and you really haven't felt it, you know, lived up to it, you still don't have to feel guilt and shame about it, in my opinion. Now, some people will disagree with me
on
that.
But what should you do if you're not filling your expectation?
You acknowledge that you're not, you have an expectation, that you are not reaching it, and then you inquire into what is it that's stopping you from reaching the expectation.
Okay. All right. So let's go to...
Which is very different than saying I'm a piece of you-know-what because I can't do this.
Right. So it's instead of like, but what we do typically is then we go through a self-bashing exercise afterwards. Instead of saying, I don't know why I don't blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, so let's go through a couple of ones. Okay. So the ones that I hear a lot with clients are, oh, I cheated on my diet. I don't know what's wrong with me. And literally, this is where I hear, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I can't stop eating chocolate. I mean, I know not to eat chocolate, but I still eat chocolate. And I'm such an idiot. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's...
So you're beating yourself up. You're making yourself feel guilty because you have an expectation that you should stay on your diet. Mm-hmm. And you're not meeting it. And you feel ashamed. Now, you didn't mention I'm so ashamed of myself, but I can guarantee you that if you have an expectation that you expect yourself to meet, you feel you should be able to meet it, you will feel shame.
I'm ashamed. Why can't I, why have I failed? And I mean, if I go to what I think they're saying, it's usually I have failed in meeting my goal, or I failed in meeting my weight goal or whatever.
And here's the problem. And then you follow it up with, I should have been able to do it.
Right.
Which keeps you from being able to look at and discover what it was that stopped you from doing it. The minute you say, I should, you've gone over the whole arena that allows you to actually learn something from the situation.
Right. Well, you go into a bunch of stories about who you are and how you're inadequate.
And they're all based on your inadequacy, correct.
Right. Versus what happened. What happened? Why did I eat the chocolate? What happened? When did it happen? Who was there?
And
what happened?
The thing is, that's not the kind of answer that you get by thinking through it. It's the kind of answer that you get to why did I do that, to going back and actually inquiring with your awareness into what goes on when you decide to reach for that chocolate, or when you can't help it and your unconscious mind forces your hand over there and suddenly you find half the box of chocolates is gone.
Right. Well, then that process would be about basically trying to go in and go like, okay, what was happening when I grabbed the piece of chocolate? It was...
It could be that you have an expectation that pleasure is more important than being slender. Mm-hmm. Right? And so that's the one that won.
Yeah.
You wanted to fill the expectation that life should be pleasurable at all times. That may be your expectation. I'm not saying it's one that perhaps you ought, maybe you should look at. It might be useful to look at that one.
Well, okay, so I must confess, I ate a caramel chocolate yesterday.
One.
So this is real. No, I ate two, okay?
Two.
You had to do that one or two thing, right? Now I even feel worse. Okay, so why did I do it? So you're saying going inside and saying, what was the reason why? Yeah, it was just like, it was just like a nice little treat. I wanted like a dog to get a treat. Oof. That's why I wanted it.
And you gave it to yourself.
Yep.
Now, could you just say that had you not guilted and shamed yourself for eating the chocolate, you might have discovered that you actually wanted the chocolate and you decided that it was okay to have it.
Okay, but here's what goes on in my mind.
Okay.
It's like, oh, well, can't I just say that every time? I mean, don't people want pleasure all the time or a little treat? So why shouldn't I be justified in doing this every day then?
Well, now you're looking for a justification for doing something pleasurable for yourself. And that's kind of not a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
You don't need to justify loving yourself.
Yeah.
Now, if you care about your weight, then it gets more complicated, of course, because if you only use food to give yourself pleasure, then the next question is, what about all the other pleasures in the world?
Yeah.
You know, so now we're off into the exploration of you as a human being and all the expectations that you have and all the beliefs you have about why you can't get them all or why you can't get everything in the world and be completely happy 24/7.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so when you start looking at what's underneath the guilt and shame, you really learn a lot about who you are and what you want and what's important to you. A lot of this is understanding your values and your expectations and going through and deciding, is this my value? Is this my expectation? Mm-hmm. Once you learn that, it's easier to step away from other people guilting and shaming you. Mm-hmm. Now, guilting and shaming yourself, when you're not filling your own expectations, requires you to take a step into the more spiritual realm or some realm where you're saying, hey, I love myself enough to not beat myself up. I'm a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to have goals. And there are days when I'm not going to meet them.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that I'm a horrible person.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mistake we make, is we think our behaviors equal a definition of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that deeply in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually not quite accurate.
Yeah. And so this same formula applies, whether, I mean, I hear, the other ones I hear a lot is, I didn't meditate.
Oh, my God, you should feel bad. You want to wake up? You want to be enlightened? You got to sit every day. You have to. You must. You should.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to get, you know, into that, you know, enlightened, happy space, you need to meditate.
Okay, so what you need to be aware of in those situations is you are now telling yourself a very unkind story.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you're really into meditation and being conscious.
It's almost like the anti-meditation statement. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like it's not okay for you to be where you are.
Yeah.
Meditation is about learning to be where you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having an awful meditation, it's wonderful to relax into your awful meditation and have a good laugh.
Yeah.
You don't need to beat yourself up about it.
Right.
Or if you're sitting in meditation and all you're having is negative thoughts,
mm-hmm.
you'll go, oh, my God, this is terrible. I'm having only negative thoughts.
Right.
I can't meditate. I'm having negative thoughts.
Right.
All you have to do is accept and be present to your negative thoughts, then you're meditating.
Right. Right.
It's very simple.
Yeah, negative thoughts are coming up right now. How fascinating.
Yeah, you just be present. Or you can guilt and shame yourself for not doing it perfectly and filling an expectation which isn't probably accurate.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, so when you actually start going, almost like the way that you know is when you start saying, oh, I should have, I could have, when you,
yes.
before you go there, that's when you actually are getting to the self-bashing part.
Anytime you say, I should have, or I need to, or I'm supposed to, you can be sure you are headed to self-bashing.
Right, yeah, and that's actually, that's the harmful, none of these things are problematic. I think it's when you go into making yourself feel less than
yes.
as a result of it.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you start creating stories of why you weren't able to do that and it has to do with your inadequacies, that's your cue to go back and say, no, what's really happening?
What's really happening here?
Excellent. Okay, Ragini Michael, speaker, author, and expert in behavioral change on Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. Up next, what can you take action on? In fact, what are you doing about this? Just kidding. You want to know more about Ragini or listening to other shows like this? Check it out at www.firedupwithcj.com.
It's a shame. It's a shame the way you hurt me. It's a shame the way you mess around with your man. I'm sitting all alone on the telephone waiting for your call. When you don't call at all, it's a shame the way you mess around with your man.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life?
Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Get ready to feel more alive. Alive with a Deal brings you the truth behind things you experience every day, ways you can heal yourself, and choices that make you feel truly alive. A Deal is a true Renaissance man, a world-renowned yoga master, naturopathic doctor for 10 years, an attorney, and has degrees in physics, math, hypnotherapy, massage, operatic singing, plus he's an expert in green home building. Alive with a Deal discusses health for your body, from heartache to heartburn, your mind, from judgment to joy, your home, from cooking to color, and your spirit, so you can bring forth your talents hidden deep within. A Deal bravely discusses things most people wouldn't touch, delivered with compassion, integrity, and wit. Alive with a Deal is about your own healing so that you feel more alive. Tune in each Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Transformation Talk Radio and Alternative Talk. Feel more alive. Alive with a Deal.
I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, Ragni Michael, speaker, author, and expert in behavioral change, discussing guilt and shame. That song really does encapsulate it, doesn't it? That kind of sense of sadness. And
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry I couldn't fill your expectation. I'm so sad I couldn't do it. And, you know, it is painful to
And that sense of wallowing. That is what happened. I mean, is that song perfect?
It's perfect. But there isn't an element of deep sadness in not being able to fill the expectation of someone you love.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And oftentimes there's just fear of not filling other people's expectations. But sometimes there's a great deal of sadness. If you're dealing with a parent, for example, and you really would like to give them what they would, you'd like to fill their expectations, but it's simply not who you are to fill those expectations.
What to do with that sadness that when that arises?
Well, you know, I'm starting to sound like a broken record, right? You feel it, you acknowledge what it is, and you allow it to be.
Yeah.
And you explore, what does it feel like to be this sad?
Yeah.
You know, because it's what is. It is your life at that moment is that sadness.
Yeah.
And that's what meditation, what being alive, really truly alive is about, is living your life filled with what it's filled with moment to moment, rather than trying to make it be a certain way.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but it certainly makes for a happier life.
Okay.
And a life with more ease.
So let's do a recap of the whole three segments. What are the three takeaways you want people to take away? Or one takeaway. One to three takeaways that you want people to
Well, first thing always is go to your body to see what it is that you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you're shrinking, if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling like you want to shrivel up and disappear, it's probably guilt and shame.
Yeah.
Right? Secondly, ask yourself, what's the expectation that I'm being asked to fill?
Mm-hmm. Okay,
because that's important. If you can start to hook those two emotions with an expectation, there's a way out of it then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then ask yourself, do I agree that that's an expectation that I want to fill?
Mm-hmm.
Do I agree it's the right thing for me?
Mm-hmm.
If you do, then you have an answer to that question. If you don't, you're clear. You don't even want that expectation.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you're laying on yourself.
Yeah.
Next, listen for the I shoulds. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I should be doing that. If you've decided that it is an expectation that you want for yourself, you might say, okay, I should. Then you ask yourself, okay, wait, what is it that's stopping me from being able to live that expectation if it's mine?
Mm-hmm.
Which will take you in a different direction than saying, I should have done it. What's wrong with me? How come I'm so defective that I can't meet my goals and live my expectations?
Right.
This is the kind of dialogue that is the result of guilt and shame, whether you're aware you're feeling it or not.
Right. Yeah, so I think that, so we, one of the ones that just a classic one that we talked about in the second segment is someone trying to make you feel guilt and shame mm-hmm. about getting married. And if you apply what you're, what I think the main takeaway is, which I'm hearing is a process. The mm-hmm. first is to be clear of the expectation at play. In that scenario, what was happening is a mom expected the daughter to get married mm-hmm. and the expectation was you'll be happier. Mm-hmm. All right. So then what you did on the inside is you said, what is the expectation? Oh, she thinks I'm going to be happier. And her, you know, and I kept on saying, mom and dad are going to be way happier. And my parents will be happier if mm-hmm. I get married. Can I fill that expectation?
Mm-hmm. Do I want that expectation?
Do I want that expectation?
To be a part of my expectation.
Right. And then tell me a little bit about what that. So it's like, do I want that expectation? And in your case, you're like, no, I don't want that expectation. I don't believe that being married is going to make me any happier than I am right now. I'm pretty happy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And it doesn't mean that you have to say you don't believe in marriage or you don't want to get married, for example. It right. may mean that you're happy doing what you're doing and you're not interested in putting time and energy into going on Match.com or eHarmony or other places to find a mate, that you're doing other things with your life that are making you happy.
Right.
So to go ahead and do that because your parents or your society feels that that's the better way to find happiness when you're already happy
right.
doesn't make sense. Now, right. someone might say to you, well, you're kidding yourself.
Right.
Right. Nobody, what do you love being alone?
Right.
You know, now you, then you would have to ask yourself again, are they trying to guilt and shame me? Yes. You know,
right.
from a slightly different angle.
Yeah.
Well, do I believe that being lonely is better than being together?
Yeah.
No, not my expectation to be alone either.
Right.
My expectation, in this case, this scenario we're speaking about, is to be happy. I am happy right now.
Right.
I don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss my happiness that's happening the way I'm doing my life this moment.
Right.
And maybe next week I'll decide I want to go join eHarmony. But
right.
I'm the
but
intent,
at that moment, right?
The intent of being aware and living your life the way you want to live it is off, and you want to do it consciously, then it's to live with what
right.
it is.
Yeah, right. You could actually, so what I'm hearing you say is that you could have that exact same conversation with your mom a week from then, and if you were feeling at the moment, yes, I do have that expectation for myself, and I care about it at that moment, for whatever reason, something mm-hmm. did, then it's a different story.
Yeah, could be.
Okay, so the other thing I think that I wanted to mention is, you know, what happens when people, you know, I stopped barraging you, and there are parents who are way more aggressive who won't stop.
Yes, what
do you do when you have a parent who's just boop, boop, you know, constantly trying to guilt and shame you? How do you get them to stop?
I think trying to get them to stop is not your best strategy.
Okay.
Your best strategy is asking yourself, what's the best way for me to relate to them?
Okay.
And it may be to limit the amount of time you spend with your parent.
Mm. That's like a hard one.
It might be, but it may be in your best interest as a child with an incredibly aggressive guilt and shamer as a parent,
mm-hmm.
whether it's obvious or whether it's passive or active.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to, may decide that it's in your best interest to spend only 3 hours a week with that parent,
mm-hmm.
right? And in those 3 hours, you can probably deal with it.
Right.
But it's when it becomes, when you're with a parent every day or every week or you talk on the phone all the time and you get the same thing, it starts to wear down your sense of self-esteem.
Right.
And you don't, you have to take care of yourself in that context. So I'm not saying you disown your parent.
Right.
You know, some people have done that.
Right.
But definitely when it's really bad, you have to limit the amount of time that you spend with that parent in terms
right.
of actual interaction.
Any other kind of successful strategies that you've seen people use in terms of trying to stop?
If you can get your mom and dad to go to therapy with you, that'd be great. Take them to a meditation retreat. Again, I hesitate to support you in trying to change the other person. Change yourself, and change in the relationship will occur. I guarantee it.
Mm.
Because the relationship is about what happens between two people. And when you work on, focus on shifting your behavior, your responses, that relationship will alter. Because you will not be buying in to the guilt and shame the way you were before. You're not biting on the hook. It will change the dynamic in some way.
What a wonderful place to end, because that's actually absolutely true. And I've felt that myself. You change yourself and it will change the whole thing.
It always does. And I think it's a pretty magical miracle.
Yep, Gandhi. He was right. That guy knew something about life. I want to thank you, Ragni. Thank you so much for sharing your advice on this, which is something really important, I think, because so many people suffer
It's my pleasure. A lot of suffering is not as needed as we think.
Yes. Chris, our station manager, did such a beautiful job with picking songs. He makes me smile. Next Thursday on Fired Up with CJ, we have Bethany St. Clair, who's going to talk. She's a feng shui organizer, and she's going to give us some advice for the summer and how we can feng shui our house and our lives this summer. See you next Thursday at 4 p.m.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.